Welcome to the Bart Winkler Show podcast.
Good evening, everybody. It is the Bart Winkler Show. I am Bart Winkler, Carlos Ortiz, Marco Belletti, you, Bart Winkler or Bart Winkler Show on your social media platform of choice. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476 is the telephone number. You call that number, you can be on the radio. Hundreds of stations nationwide, Sirius XM channel 375. Did you have a teacher growing up who said you'd amount to nothing? You could be a caller on the Bart Winkler Show. Hell, you could be Bart Winkler. My teachers still don't know who the hell I am when I go back. That's a me problem.
No,
888-710-4ISN. I'm waiting to get into one of these, like, I don't know. I'm from Fond du Lac, Wisconsin. There's 40,000 people in that town. I feel like this is a pretty good achievement for somebody from my city to have under my belt, right? To be a host of a nationally syndicated talk show.
Sure.
I'm waiting for any... When I'm talking about I need people to write articles on me, I'm just talking about, like, the Action Advertiser, the once-a-week bulletin that's desperate for copy. Somebody acknowledge me. My goodness. Fond du Lac, let's go. Anyway, I'm not even on their Wikipedia page, dude. Come on.
Acknowledge me.
That's all I'm looking for. And you know what the thing about acknowledgement is? It's an itch that never can fully get scratched because you always want a little bit more. And I don't know what I'm chasing. Teachers were pretty complimentary of me. I was in a loving home. My parents said, I love you. Where is this validation that I'm still? What do I need? What is my problem? Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I had this plan for the person I meet with once a month. I forgot. I had that script up. Okay, I need second hour Monday radio show. Hold on. Okay, I got it. The NBA Finals, game two. How about that? Carlos, I know you were locked in and loaded during the game.
Emphasis on loaded.
Do you have a nice weekend?
Yeah, the part I can remember, yeah.
I wanted to tell you how my kids' sports weekend went. Do you care?
I believe we should be leading with this. That's A block material.
Yeah, thank you. Soccer game, 9 a.m. The other team didn't have enough kids. I was like, that's weird. So we gave them some of my kids and switched
it
half.
Open wide for some soccer!
And my kid had 4 goals so far this season. And then in this game, when he's against my team, he has like a 3/4 of the field breakaway, a great shot. His best goal of the year came against my team. So I was proud and also like, kid, I'm trying to win here. But it was really good. So that was fun. And then baseball was, so he's played more soccer than baseball. Got a hit, but guess what? They all get a hit. I kind of like what they do. They're 6 years old, so it's coach pitch. So they get like 4 or 5 tries to swing a bat from the coach pitching, and if they don't get a hit, then they get to use the tee, and then everybody gets a hit. There's no like score that's kept. There's no outs. Even if you get out, the kid gets to stay on the base. It's all about getting kids at bats and then letting them run the bases, and so every team gets to do it about twice, and that takes up an hour. So it was interesting because I would go over by my kids' bench, but they're keeping score, you know, and really the score is going to be what team has more kids. But they thought they won like 21-16, and then I see the other bench where my seat was, and then they thought they won like 18-14. So everybody went home thinking they were a winner, and it doesn't get much better than that. And if you think that's stupid, they're 6 years old. It's about learning the game. It's about learning the game, okay? I don't know at what age I'm going to be the dad that the wins and losses do matter to
me. 7.
There is one thing I'm trying to like. So like everything's a game for my kid. Everything's a game. It can't not be. He set up a little store in the living room just of his junk, and he wants mommy and daddy to buy different things. And I'm like, okay, I'll appease him. I'll buy this stupid thing. And then at night I look down and he had like written out with paper, daddy 23, mommy 8, because I bought more things than her. So I was winning. And then I wanted to just throw him some balls in the backyard tonight after school to, you know, work on his swing. But then that had to turn into a game, which made no sense. And he, I guess, won because, you know, he always wins. I just want to throw my son a baseball. Okay, and I don't want everything to be a game here, but that competitive spirit is going to get him very far. So far that his hometown will pretend like he never grew up there in the first place. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. I mentioned where I was from. Well, do you know that 20 miles north of me is a little town called Oshkosh, Wisconsin? And that is where Tyrese Halliburton is from. And he is not having that great of a series. He really isn't. The Thunder are taking things away from him, and it takes him a while before he gets as aggressive as I think he needs to be. Game one, we all remember the other night, the Pacers won 111-110, and it was Halliburton with that shot. But without that shot, he didn't have a really good game that day, and he didn't have a good game either in this game. 123-107, the final. Thunder even up the series. Game three will be on Wednesday. This was about Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. And this was about the dominance of the Thunder. So they have not lost consecutive games this postseason. They've won by 16, 32, and 43 in games after defeats. This was the tightest. But when they lose, they then come back and play very well. You want to talk about championship metal, that's what it is. If you look at meaningful games, games that matter, games that, you know, have something to do with the standings, they haven't lost consecutive meaningful games since all the way back in November. I will remind you, however, that they did lose a championship game. They're actually 1-3, 1-2 this year in championship games. 1-1 in the NBA Finals and 0-1 in the NBA Cup Finals when they lost to the Milwaukee Bucks, and the banner hangs beautifully at Fiserv Forum. So one thing with Halliburton is he only had 5 points through the first three quarters. And they're doing the same thing to him that they did to Anthony Edwards. They're not letting him attack the paint, and they're not letting him shoot. They're making him play facilitator, which he's usually happy to do. But if the Pacers are going to win this series, they can't just rely on miracle ball. They need Halliburton to be effective, and they need him to be effective early. Again, just 5 points over the first three quarters, 2 of 7 shooting. And then he had 12 points in the fourth quarter, but by then the game was out of reach. SGA, on the other hand, game's leading scorer with 34 points. He was really effective and really good. And even after the game, Rick Carlisle said, look, you might as well just put 34 on the box score for him next game. He's going to get that. The guy scores. He knows how to score. He had 38 in game one. He had 34 in game two, which cumulatively has to be some kind of record. And it is. 72 points through the first two games of the finals. That is the most points ever by a player in his first two career NBA Finals games. The other guys that are on this list in 2012, KD had 68 in his first two games. Jokic a few years ago had 68 in his first two games. 1991 saw Michael Jordan with 69. The previous record holder was in 2001, Allen Iverson, who had 71, and so Shai had 72, besting that by one. Quick note on Allen Iverson, by the way. A happy 50th birthday to Allen Iverson. He turned 50, I believe it was Saturday. Allen Iverson, I don't know if he still gets the credit that he deserves. He gets a lot of credit, but I don't know where people rank him. And I just, that era of basketball, remember he would like wear crazy suits or wear crazy clothes on the sideline and people would get mad at him, but he had certainly a different style of fashion and the arm sleeve, and he was his own guy. And I don't know if he would get eaten alive in today's, you know, embrace debate culture. He was his own guy. He ushered in a new era of basketball. I think he should get a lot of respect for his genuineness and just being himself. I don't know that we appreciate that about him enough, but he turned 50 over the weekend, and SGA rewarded that by beating one of the records that he holds in basketball. It was also SGA's 12th 30-point game during these playoffs record, and that passes KD's for the most in franchise postseason history, as he had 11. So what's coming up here? What's coming up next in Game 3? How are we going to see Game 3? Because one of the things with Game 2 that we saw also in Game 1, and one of the strong points coming in to these finals for the Pacers was depth. The Pacers' depth is really good. You have a lot of guys that can give you 15 to 20 minutes off the bench. Just to name a few, Obi Toppin, Thomas Bryant, TJ McConnell, Benedict Mathurin, Ben Shepherd. These guys can come off the bench, give you big minutes, and also be effective. They can hustle. They know they're only playing about 15 to 20, so they don't mind getting physical. I'm going to get fouled out. No, I'm going to play our defense, and we're going to play full court defense, and we're going to be gritty on the boards, and we're going to put up shots. We're going to make and take threes. Mathurin had 14 in this game. McConnell had 11. And that has been a big strength of the Pacers, is that they can continually go, 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 because they've got their starters, but they've got a second unit. The Thunder, however, and one of the things that we talked about coming in is, for everything the Pacers do well, the Thunder do also well, and probably better. And their biggest strength, Indiana's, right, the bench, is also a pretty big strength of the Oklahoma City Thunder. Now, they didn't go fully as deep, but Hartenstein came off the bench and had 22 minutes. Aaron Wiggins, 21 minutes. He had 18 points. He was 5-for-8 from three. Really exploded in the second half when Indiana would have been trying to make their comeback. Alex Caruso was the Thunder's second leading scorer, which that Caruso for Josh Giddey swap looks better by the day. He had 27 minutes, 4-for-8 from three, and again, 20 points. So it was actually their bench that played better. So if you're a Pacers fan, you almost might want to think, we love our bench, but one thing we might need to do is we also love our starters. And maybe these guys should be playing more minutes. Do we want more minutes out of Miles Turner, who played 27 minutes? Do we want more minutes out of Tyrese Haliburton, who played 34 minutes? So they were about even when they had both players on the court on Sunday, but they were outscored by double digits in the minutes where they were off the court. So Tyrese Haliburton has not been great in these finals. He hasn't. He's got the great shot, and if the Pacers win this series, I would think you could still find a way to give him finals MVP, but that's also what kept him from getting the finals MVP in the Eastern Conference Finals, is he was uneven. He was inconsistent. He knows he was terrible. He said he was terrible. His words after game one, and then also what they're doing, the Thunder, is exactly what they're trying to do to Haliburton. What they did to Anthony Edwards, they're trying to do to Haliburton. They're trying to rough him up early. They're trying to get the ball out of his hands and then not let him get the ball back. And the Thunder have been a problem for Haliburton every time he's played them. Over the last two seasons, he's scored less against Oklahoma City than any other team. He's scored less against Lu Dort than any other player. And then one of the reasons why the Thunder made that change – Remember, they made a change in the starting lineup 30 minutes before the game where Hartenstein's not playing anymore as a starter. It's Case and Wallace. And we think that maybe that is a reason they lost game one, but also one of the reasons they did that is Hartenstein, while effective in many areas, is a guy that Halliburton could maybe attack, and Wallace, not so much. You get a guard in there instead of a big guy. According to ESPN research, Halliburton touched the paint on 9 of his 100 touches in game two after touching the paint 7 of his 108 touches in game one. So 9% in game two, 6.5% of possessions where he's touching the paint with the ball in game one. And those are low. Those are the two lowest percentages that he's had in his 18 playoff games this season. So if you're coming into this series as the Thunder, you want to match your bench to the Pacers bench, which they have effectively done. And you also want to take Tyrese Halliburton away, or at least make things difficult for him, which they have done in both games. But the reason this series is tied is because Tyrese Halliburton is one of the most clutch players of our time and made that big shot at the end of the first game, winning the game for the Pacers, evening this thing up now with the Thunder getting game two. Again, this narrative that he is the most overrated player, fans may have thought it, players may have thought it, media may have thought it, but we keep referring to this anonymous player survey that was done by The Athletic. They put out this survey. You could do it if you wanted. There was no repercussion either way. 14% of players that filled it out voted Tyrese Halliburton as the most overrated player. It wasn't like it was 50%. It wasn't like it was 70%. It was 14%. Gobert at 10%, Trae Young at 9%. And you know how many people filled that out? Just 90. So there are 13 players in the league, of the whole league, the 500-some in the league. 13 players took this survey, got it, decided to do it, decided to answer this question, wrote down Tyrese Halliburton's name, and that's the reason everybody thinks he's so overrated. And that's the reason that he's so motivated to prove them wrong. All of this is to prove 13 players anonymously wrong. But the Thunder are making those 13 players look pretty good and would be making them look real good if Halliburton wasn't also probably the leading vote getter next year in the survey for most clutch. Because that is why, despite all the troubles, despite all the stats that I can throw and will throw at you about how they're guarding him, how he struggles against this team more than any other team. He made that big shot at the end of game one. He is clutch. The series is tied. And now we're going back to Indiana. So it does seem like things got corrected. Pacers get one. Thunder bounce back. But as we saw, you know, Denver, I believe, won game three in that series. And maybe that's something that happens here as Indiana goes back and is able to get the victory in game number three. Did Denver win game three? Yeah, Denver won game three in overtime. And then the Thunder won the next two. Denver won game six. Thunder won game seven. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. So we saw the Pacers win, and then we think, oh boy, we got a series. Then we see the Thunder win the way we thought they would win. Are we back to thinking Thunder can wrap this up, maybe even gentlemanly? We'll talk about that with you, 888-710-4476. This is The Bart Winkler Show.
It's The Bart Winkler Show podcast.
It's Tyrese Halliburton after game two. Nice to see him speak after a loss. He was 2 for 7 after three quarters, just 5 points. Finished with 17. The Thunder have been effective in trying to slow him down. The problem is there was a possession where they didn't, and he hit a game-winning shot. So the series is tied. Portion of the show brought to you by Ethos Life, the easy way to get life insurance in 10 minutes, up to $2 million in coverage with no medical exam, just a few health questions. Get your free quote at checkethos.com. Not available in all states. Pacers do win game one in a very Pacers way. The Thunder win game two in a very Thunder way. So how are things going to play out moving forward? 888-710-4476. Ram is in Milwaukee. Ram and I have talked a lot of hoops. We have disagreed on a lot of hoops. Hello, Ram. Good to talk to you, as always.
Big time, Bart. Coast to coast, the most.
How you been, dude?
I've been pretty good, Bart. You know, it's spring, summer basketball season for the high school boys and girls. So, you know, I've been pretty busy recruiting and training.
All right. I know you're always hooping out there. Not a day goes by without a ball in your hand.
And shooting a few jumpers, you know. The Bucks might call me. Bucks might call me. They need a shooter. They might call me.
All right. Well, we'll see how bad things get. If you can play on a vet minimum, I think they'd be fine.
Hey, I'll take any minimum at the NBA level. I'll split it with you.
Oh, thank you.
I do for you, Bart. Hey, I'll say this. I watched both games, and I don't think Halliburton is overrated. I don't know if I mentioned I met him and his dad. I think he's about 7th, 8th grade. I saw the potential. And, you know, if you watch his progression, if you go to YouTube, I mean, he's been a winner. I mean, he's like, you know, he's Mr. Wisconsin basketball. You don't get that being a fluke. You know, and
sure.
several NBA basketball players are the Mr. whatever in their state. So he's definitely in the superstar category. And I'm going to say this. I know y'all have one of your guys that come on the radio. I don't know if he does athletic. That's not one of my favorite news services. Especially for basketball. They're good for baseball, but basketball, absolutely not. And I read a lot of these things, but I'm much older than probably people on that staff.
Well, if you're referring to the reason survey. I brought him up tonight was because that was a survey done by players.
Yeah.
So it was just biased. The Athletic that published it.
But if I want a survey done by players, I want some HOF people, recently retired players, actually watch games, not nobody, no peer group. You know, because you got a lot of AAU guys in the peer group. That's just me. I mean, because if I really want a good...
No, I mean, we can hammer the... Because, again, this anonymous player survey that came out, the Athletic did it, only 90 players voted in most overrated, and only 13 of them put Tyrese Halliburton. So this whole narrative that the league thinks he's overrated comes from 13 of his peers, essentially. Just 13.
Yeah. But I don't know. That's a very myopic survey to put out there to make, you know, you have 450 players. Then you call G League, it's 900 players. I wouldn't even put that out there. You know, that's just me. I mean, you seem like you have a bigger control group when you're looking at that. And then it depends on who you're talking to.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Now, the other thing is, I don't like the crew that's doing the game, Doris Burke and Richard Jefferson, Mike Green. Mike Green is good. I don't know, it seems like he's capitulating a little bit. Don't show your bias towards one team when you're doing a national game. Just keep it in the middle. That's just me. I'm old school guy.
You got and a new catchphrase here, Ram? You've never said that ever when I've talked to you. Now you're giving me the that's just me. I like it.
You know, but I'm only saying this, and I'm going to say this too, is I think regular season is regular season. And I always hear people talking about, well, you got the best record, you got the MVP, but this is the playoffs. Throw all that out the window. And don't pretend like the Pacers haven't earned their keep to be here and who they beat, which I think they had a much harder path than OKC. And then the other thing is, it's like in the media narrative, I'm not going to say you, but I don't say that it was a fluke that they beat OKC. OKC had a 15-point lead with 6 minutes left, and they didn't close it out. That's on them. They had a 15-point lead in the fourth quarter and didn't close it out. As if Rick Carlisle is not a championship NBA coach and a player.
I don't think anything about the – at this point, at this point, I can't say anything about the Pacers. I mean,
they're a good team.
The odds of them doing what they've done in those four games was 1 in 75 million. But also, that is what they do. You can't, like, in 15-point deficits, they find ways more often than not to come back. So you got to, and I totally agree with you with Rick Carlisle. I agree with all that. So is this going to play out more Pacers, or is this going to play out more Thunder? What do you think?
Okay, I'm going to say this. I think the Pacers have more veteran players. And you know me, I'd rather go with vets than young guys. And vet players, one thing they have over the younger guy is they don't play the more meaningful in big games, and we're going to see how that plays out. And the last thing is, I would say the Pacers have at least five players that can score 30 that I've seen over the last 2-3 years. And that group has been together probably as long as OKC, maybe 1 year less, 1 year more. But they definitely got better when they got Pascal and Halliburton. That's a different team. And I just think Carlisle is going to outcoach this young guy. I just think he has a personnel where he can outcoach him. I mean, that's what I see. And he comes from the Celtic organization.
And that's
I'm
just you.
Yep, that's just me from what I'm looking at. Now, but I'm going to say this. I look at coaches and the coaching tree they come from. Whoever taught them, they take whatever taught them, and then they make it better. Yeah. But when you win a championship, I got to put you on a different level. I don't care what sport it is. You've been at the top, and you can replicate that again. It's just like a millionaire losing $1 million. They know how to get $1 million back again.
Yeah, I think, Ram, I got to let you go. Good to catch up with you, though.
Thanks for taking my call.
See you, buddy. That's Ram in Milwaukee. Yeah, I think Rick Carlisle's getting a lot more probably praise and admiration than he has in a long while, which is good. He's sort of been somebody that we've known has been a good coach, but I don't think he's gotten that attention. I don't think we've put him up there in one of these lists or categories, and for him to now take another group to the finals. And I think this Pacers team is a finals. They're worthy and capable of winning an NBA finals. I just still feel like the Thunder are better. But I thought the Knicks were better and the Cavs were better, and the Pacers find ways to win. So Game 3, a lot's going to hinge on Game 3. If you're a Pacers fan, you think, okay, well, now we're back home. So the Thunder had their bench guys playing very well. You know, Aaron Wiggins all of a sudden playing very well, and Alex Caruso second on the team in points. I see this one maybe going back the way of the Pacers because now we've got our guys. Bench guys play better at home. They say it all the time, but all the time it is true. They need, though, maybe to rely less on the bench. Even with Halliburton, I mentioned some of his struggles in this series. The Pacers, when he's on the floor, plus minus, they're plus 7. In the 23 minutes without him, they're minus 22. So one thing the Thunder were able to do was play well in Game 2 in the non-SGA minutes. The Pacers have had a harder time in the non-Tyrese Halliburton minutes. And another thing that I do like that the Thunder did was they went back to using their bigs. So those guys played more minutes, Holmgren and Hartenstein. They played 41 minutes in Game 1. They played 50 minutes in Game 2. And then when Turner went to the bench, then Dagnall played those guys together, which they did not do in Game 1. And I do think size is one of the things that the Thunder can use over the Pacers, especially when Turner's out. So I was surprised they didn't rely on that more in Game 1. But then you got to see him use it a little bit more in Game number 2.
This is me.
888-710. I love Ram. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. We'll come on back. Let's get an update. Got a hockey final. Here's the latest with Marco Belletti. It is the Bart Winkler Show. I am Bart Winkler. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Carlos Ortiz alongside. How about that Stanley Cup? 6-1 tonight, Florida over Edmonton. Pretty good beat down there for the Florida Panthers. Do I have a Carlos Ortiz Stanley Cup 30-second breakdown for the people?
Yeah, let me tell you, Florida, not only was it a beatdown on a scoreboard, but it was just a fight almost every 30 seconds in the third period. Edmonton got punked at every facet of the game. It's like Florida wanted to bait them into, you know, losing their composure, which they need to, what Edmonton needs to quickly find in game four, or this series can be over in five. I really did not think this was going to be as lopsided as a game, but we've seen twice already Florida have won comfortably. I thought it was going to be Edmonton in seven. I'm very nervous about that prediction right now. But yeah, Florida just manhandled them, whether it was in fighting or on the scoreboard. Crazy game.
Well, and that shows you these games that go to overtime. I mean, that's why they're so nerve-wracking, and that's why it is so exciting, because you get a 6-1 game like this. Okay, this was a dominant game. Florida won. But then Edmonton's going to be thinking of, oh, you know, we had them double overtime. You know, the first game they won in overtime, the second game they lost. But that's how razor-thin this can be in the Stanley Cup, because they could be thinking that they could be up still 2-1, but Florida got that win. They get this win. We'll see how things shake out here. Next game's on Thursday. All right. Thursday. No game tomorrow. NBA on Wednesday. Stanley Cup on Thursday. Speaking of Stanley, Stanley's in Chicago. Stanley!
Bart, how are you?
Hey, buddy. How you been?
I've been good. So, I have this dilemma.
Oh, God.
I do. A year and a half ago, my neighbor decided they wanted to sell their house. They got rented a renter, and they had it up for sale. So a couple weeks ago, I meet the new neighbor. Very nice woman, single woman, you know.
Stanley.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, and I, in conversation, I said, Oh, you're a Sox fan, because her family's from the South Side. She goes, no, I'm a Cubs fan. I'm like, oh, that's wonderful. That's great. That's great. So we have, you know, a nice conversation, and we just leave it at that. So this past weekend, my son drives by the neighbor's house as he pulls into the driveway, our driveway, and he says, I got something to tell you. I said, what? He goes, the neighbor's got a couch in the garage with the Packers blanket on the couch. I said, no. He says, yes. Now, she's a single woman who has a boyfriend. So her and her boyfriend, you know, they got the house or whatever. So my dilemma is, I like the woman who's the Cubs fan, who's the owner of the house, but the boyfriend is the Packer fan. Now, I know you're a Packer fan. If you had a Bears fan move in next door to you, what would you do as like a housewarming gift? Because I'm thinking Bears cupcakes or, you know, I don't know what to do.
Stanley, I don't know if I'm just a more evolved human, but
evolved
I've gotten
is a big word, Bart.
I've gotten to a point where I can interact with people on a day-to-day basis that are different NFL fans than me.
Really?
Yeah. You won't believe this, Stanley, but my relationships with people are about like camaraderie and ideals and beliefs and dreams and then maybe further down the list, like way further down, is what's your favorite National Football League squad?
It's still not an answer to my question. What would you get them as a housewarming gift?
I'd get them a case of beer or a bottle of wine. What I wouldn't do is, oh, I saw a Packers blanket. Here's something Bears. I mean, let's try to build a relationship with these people that is outside the realm of sports. You can have your friendly back and forth, but don't just go all in on the sports, Stanley. Let's not be that kind of person.
You're sure?
I've never been more sure of anything.
Well, thank you, Bart.
Now, I'm sorry. I feel like you thought I might give you like some fun, like, you know, rivalry thing, but I didn't. That's not who I am.
It stopped? There's no rivalry?
No, I think you thought I'd give you like, oh, okay, you're some, you know, I'd play into the rivalry, but I'm not, that's, the rivalry's nice, but it doesn't, the Packers-Bears rivalry doesn't take up more than 3 hours of my time, but twice a year. I don't constantly use it as a personality trait like many in the Packers-Bears rivalry do.
So, wow. Yeah. So many as the Bears rivalry do, but not the Packers rivalry.
No, there's plenty of people in Wisconsin who feel the same way that you might. That the Packers-Bears rivalry.
I knew you are a person from Wisconsin. I thought I'd get your advice on it.
No, see, and again, I'm a more evolved human than many of these cretins.
Well, I appreciate your advice, Bart. Thank you very much.
I hope I did not offend you in any way. All right, he's sending me an angry Facebook later.
Yeah, he was looking at you like you had three heads. Some mythological hydra creature. What do you mean your fandom doesn't affect your relationships?
Well, like, my neighbor likes the Cubs, which I only know because he had a Cubs hat on. And then that was about it.
Yeah. My groomsmen were full of Jets fans. I had a Commanders fan and an Eagles fan.
And maybe I'm wrong.
No, you're in the majority.
I don't know. I don't know that I'm in the majority. I think a lot of, I saw somebody post today that it's been 580 days since the Packers beat the Vikings. Like today. Like, why are you thinking of that today? I mean, I'm all about football and I'm all about following the off season in football. And, you know, I love the NFL as much as I love any sport. It's my favorite. It's my favorite league. Football is my favorite sport to watch. But I don't consume myself with these rivalries. And a lot of people do, especially the closer to the borders you get, you know, because then there's like bars that have a little bit of both. You know, and some of these Wisconsin towns you'll stop in, you go to the gas station, there's like not a Packer trinket to be seen, and it's all Bears stuff. Because one funny fact about the Packers-Bears rivalry and about Illinois in general is anytime anyone in Illinois wants to have fun, they come to Wisconsin, whether that's Lake Geneva or Door County or the Wisconsin Dells or one of our many other 10,000-plus lakes, because we do actually have more lakes than they have in Minnesota, even though they're so proud of it, they put it on their license plate. But again, I don't think of these rivalries ever. Certainly not right now. And Stanley, look, the Packer blanket's in the garage. So they don't even deem it good enough to be in their home. So that should be something for you, right? And then conversely, I'll have you know, and this is true, that I have a Packers blanket that's very cozy and I sleep with it in my bed. And you know who got me that Packers blanket? I got it for Christmas one year from my brother-in-law. And do you know who my brother-in-law's favorite football team is? You'll never guess. You will never guess. It's the Chicago Bears. See? We don't let a rivalry come between us. In fact, maybe it makes us stronger. And those are my sage words of advice for you tonight. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. This is the Bart Winkler Show, and we resume coming up.
Thank you for listening to The Bart Winkler Show. Listen live Monday through Friday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 Pacific.